Stay here. I'm going to kiss you.
Hey, hello. You guys know Jeff Priest, right? Jeff was my boss for about 5 years.
How lucky am I? I got Tim. I was the high school pastor. Tim was what did you do? Tim did worship, and we worked together for 5 years, 20 years, pre-gray hair for me.
Yeah, I got a few.
Yeah, you do.
Anyways, you guys are so awesome and blessed to have this guy hang out with you and talk to you.
And will you guys, go ahead, don't go anywhere. Will you guys, can you imagine, this guy got up every day with our kids for the past week and poured into them. You know, he's a wonderful guy, but he goes above and beyond because he cares about them. And so will you guys, will you thank Tim for what he did for us this week? What a great. That's so fun. He's such a good guy. I got to work with him for, we got nothing done, but we had fun. Hey, what a great morning. And you know, we're in the series, and I'm stick with the series, but I'm also going to take, and I want you to know this morning, I'm going to take a crack at parenting, because I think it's important. I think I was just hoping that, you know, with the kids being in here, there'll be a few extra parents that are kind of in the thick of what it means to try to raise these little ones and everything, and they're doing like life's most important work and probably life's most difficult and challenging work. So I'm going after parenting just a little bit this morning as a way to kind of, I just feel like it's appropriate. So let me pray, and then we'll get going. We're still in our series called Letters. God, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for the kids, Lord. We just pray, Lord, for your hand of blessing on them. Pray, Lord, that you will you'll protect all those kids. You'll watch over them, that you will keep them safe, that you'll keep them from evil. You'll be with the parents, Lord, and may you bless them and give them the strength and the energy and the guidance and the wisdom, Lord, to endure. Thanks for Tim. Thanks for leading here. Thank you, Lord, that you woke him up this morning, and you're waking him up every morning, Lord. And what went after him 16 years ago, God, did not take him out, God. And we thank you, Lord, for protecting him and blessing him, Lord. As we look into your word, may we be blessed by it, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're in a series, and we're a series called Letters. And we're looking at this idea of letters. And Paul wrote these letters to various churches and people all through the region, all through the Mediterranean. And Paul talked to these people about Jesus, talked to them about the life of Jesus, talked about the death of Jesus, about the teaching of Jesus. And so Paul wrote these letters to them, reminding all these different places and people, all the things that Jesus did. Paul wrote a lot to these different churches. He wrote to these churches. These were either churches that Paul started, or Paul visited, or Paul was going to visit. And so Paul did this on his three missionary journeys. And so we have a slide, and I know you're sick of my little slide, but I still got it. And so this is Paul's three missionary journeys. I'm trying to get my little thing going. There we go. That's better. Okay, and this is where he did. This morning we're going to look at a city, Ephesus, right here. Paul wrote to Ephesus. Paul planted or started Ephesus on his second missionary journey, and then on his third missionary journey, he went to visit Ephesus, and he was there for about 3 years, and he wrote to the church there. He wrote letters to them, and this also were letters that kind of spread out to various churches in the region. So this was everything that Paul was doing, and so that's why we're called this series called Letters. And if you look at the letters that Paul wrote, you'll see that most and many of the letters that he wrote were very relational. Paul was about unity. He was about connecting. He was about understanding our identity in Christ, but he was also talking about unity and unity with one another and being in relationship with God, but also in relationship with one another. So this relational theme is very important, and unity is very important to what Paul talked about. And so that's why I thought, as we thought about VBS and everything, it's important, let's talk about relationship, because one of life's greatest relationships and most important relationships is the relationship between parents and kids. And that's what we're going to look at. That's what we're going to look at this morning. I'm going to speak to you as a parent. I'm going to speak to you as a youth pastor who was a youth pastor for 15 years, and I read a lot of books on this, and so I'm going to speak to you about this and on this. I am not an expert in any way. If my wife was up here, we would both say we are not experts as parents. We do our best. I think we try. I think we do a pretty good job, but we are far from experts. I remember when my wife and I first got married, and when you get married and then you start to have kids and they're little babies, you start in your mind to start to think, and you look at everybody else, right? We're always comparing. We're looking at everybody else, and we're seeing all the mistakes that they make, and we always think to ourselves, we'll never do what they do, you know? And one of the things we never would do what they would do was, you know, when they're kids and they crawl out of their cribs and they want to crawl into your bed, and so, you know, you got the kids sleeping with you through the night. When we first had kids, we thought, we're never having our kids sleep with you, sleep with us in the middle of the night. That was our thought. And then you start having kids, and then we have four kids, and they're all teenagers now, but that's why I got like a twitch. But I remember when they were young, we probably had three kids, like, you know, they were 3, 5, and 6, you know, right around there, or maybe 2, 4, something like that. And so they're crawling out of their crib into our, and when a kid crawls into your bed at 3 in the morning, you don't care about parenting, right? You just want to get through the night. You know, I don't care what I can do to get through the night, and so I sleep. So you invite them in, because that's just what you do, and then they flail around. And then what I would typically do is I'd leave my bed and I'd go sleep in one of their beds, you know, whatever one came. So every night when I went to bed, I would always start the night in my bed, and I would always think to myself, I wonder what bed I'm going to end up in tonight. You know, that was just my life. It was usually a pink bed with one of the girls, and she was in my bed and I'm in her, the little pink twin bed. But that was my life. But we thought we were never going to do that. And then you just do it. You try to survive, right? Just trying to survive. Just trying to get through. I remember when we'd go out to dinner and we'd see parents and they'd be with their teenagers, and the teenagers would always have their face in the phones. And we said to ourselves, we're never going to let our kids do that. They're never going to bury their heads in their phone all the time. And so now we go out and, you know, it just inevitably happens. You try not to do these things, or you try to stop it, but you can't stop it. So I don't stand up here as an expert. I don't stand up here as someone who's got it all figured out. I don't, but I understand the battle. Here's another thing about parenting. You never stop. It never ends, guys. I mean, it's a wonderful thing, but it never ends. You know, it's so interesting when Tim says, what do you worry about? It's my kids. I've got four teenagers. You never stop worrying about them. I was talking to a guy, Ron, this morning. He was over at an old folks' home talking to a 90-year-old woman, and he said, how can I pray for you? And she goes, will you pray for my daughter? You know, until she's 90, and you still worry about your kids. I mean, this is something, but this is just the life. And no one warned us. They didn't warn us about, I'm going to get to the message in a second. They didn't warn us till two things. One is how expensive they are. They are so expensive. Stop at 2. If you have 2, stop. Okay? And they're wonderful. I love them. And they're emotionally exhausting. And it doesn't go away. It doesn't stop. If you don't have kids, you're like, everyone's going out and getting fixed today, right after this message. Okay. Sorry. But it's what life's about. We love our kids. They're everything to us. They're everything to us, and we love them. And we want to be great parents. I want to share something with you about parenting real quickly. We're going to look at four verses. We're going to look at four verses in the book called Ephesians, and it's Ephesians 6, and this is what it says. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy life on earth. And all parents say, amen, right? Now, if you're kidding, you hear that, you're thinking to yourself, I thought we were talking about parenting. Why are you starting there? Like, why does Paul start there? But it's interesting. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that, look what it says, so that it may go well with you. So as we think about this relationship between parents and kids, it's on both of them. It's on the parents, but it's also on the kids. And if you honor your parents, and if you obey your parents, look where it says. It says, so that it may go well with you. So interesting, so that it may go well with them. So it's this thing, if they want life to be, you know, parents don't wake up in the morning going, God, I sure hope I get in a fight with my kids. I sure hope we have a battle today. I mean, that's what life's all about. We don't wake up doing that. We want to get along. We want to connect. And so there's both parts that play. The kids play a part too about listening and following parents. And then it says this in verse 4. It says fathers. Remember, very patriarchal society, so this could just as easily be fathers and mothers. But it says fathers, I'll add mothers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Very interesting. It says, do not exasperate them. So the kids play a part in this, and the parents play a part in this. They both play a part. And you see, as parents, the smartest thing we can do is create a relationship with our kids. Don't exasperate them, but create a relationship with them. It's important. Create a relationship with them. The smartest thing we can do as parents is to create a relationship with them. That's what it's all about. Let me tell you why. Because if I asked you right now, if I said, hey, is having a relationship with your kids important? Everyone would say, yeah. But let me tell you why. Let me tell you, this is what hangs in the balance, and this is why this is so important. Right now in the world we live in, we are on a treadmill with our kids. We are on a treadmill. We're doing so much. We have to get to so much. We're going in so many places. So what we do is we live on this treadmill with our kids, and we're doing more and more, more than it's ever been done. And that's the life that we live in. And what we have the tendency to do is we have this ability or this tendency to be experience rich but relationally poor. We're doing so much, but we have this tendency to be experience rich but relationally poor. That's what we have this attitude to do. And so we find ourselves doing these things. And as great as all the games are, as great as all the tutors are, as great as all the coaches are, as great as all the recitals are, as great as all the dance classes are, as great as everything that we do with these kids, we get spinning and we get spinning and we get spinning, and we do so much, but oftentimes what we miss out on is the relational part, is the relationship part. So we get caught in this treadmill, and we're experience rich, but we're relationally poor. Now, this is why relationship is so important. This is why it's important, and it's this. The quality of the relationship that you have with your kids will determine the influence that you have in their lives. The quality of the relationship that you have with your kids will determine the influence that you have in your life. And parents, this is what we want. This is what you need. And you don't realize this yet, because if they're young, you don't realize. But when they start to become teenagers and they start to get older, you start to feel it. What we want to be able to do is have influence in the lives of our kids. That's what we want. And it comes through relationship. That's why Paul says, don't exasperate them, but connect with them. It comes through relationship. And you want to have influence in their life. Not when they're deciding, are we going to have a Happy Meal or Chicken McNuggets? No one cares about that. We don't care. We don't care if you have influence of that. What you want to be able to do is have influence in the life of your kids when they're making life's biggest decisions. When they grow up and they're making life's most important decisions. When they start to deal with, how are they going to deal with drugs and alcohol? How are they going to decide who they're going to date? How are they going to decide what college they're going to go to? How are they going to decide who they're going to marry? How are they going to decide how they're going to parent? How are they going to decide what job they're going to do? How are they going to decide where they're going to live? It's all these areas in your life where they have to make the biggest decisions in your life. And what you want to be able to do is have influence in their life when they are making life's biggest decisions. And it comes through relationships. And we don't think this way. When they're young, we don't think this way. When they're young, we're just trying to survive. And we're thinking, yeah, I should kind of connect with them. But there's so much at stake. And it's the fact that we want to have influence in their life, and it comes through relationships. That's why Paul says this, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. He's saying this. He's saying build relationship. He's saying build relationship. And you know why relationship is important? Because it leads to influence. It leads to influence. You know, when kids are young, influence is easy. When they're little kids, influence is easy because you know what you do? You stick them in a car seat and you buckle them up and you say, stay there, and they can't do anything. Or you stick them in a room and you shut the door. You could come out when you stop crying. When they're little, influence is easy because we're bigger. We're bigger, and we have position in our lives, and I'm bigger, and I'm dad, and you listen to me, and I'm bigger, and I'm mom, and you listen to me, and I'm bigger than you, and I can stick you here, and I can strap you in, and you can't do anything. And so we have influence when they're little, but then something happens. They start to grow up, and they start to become more independent, and they start to have a mind of their own, and they start to branch out. And they start to be teenagers, and they start to go, and then something happened. I'll never forget, I was probably 17. You know, my dad was tough, and I was scared to death of my dad. So I listened to dad because it was dad, and he was big, and he was like, you know, he had this position and everything. When I was 17, I don't know what, I think I just got done lifting or something, and my dad was saying something, and I went down, and I picked my dad up, and I put him on my shoulders, and I spun him around. Probably at 17. And at that moment for him, that was like an uh-oh moment. Like, right? Because I'm not bigger and stronger than this guy anymore. And so what happens is influence when they're young is easy. Because we have position and we have power and we have strength. And then something happens. They start to grow up. And when they start to grow up, we don't make the transition. We don't make the transition to relationship. We still try to influence them through position, and we try to influence them through power. And we try to use position and power as they start getting older, and we don't have relationship. And what we're doing when we do that is we're just chipping away at our relationship with them. We're just chipping away at the relationship with them. And we try to use position and power, but it doesn't work. We try to use it, but it's no longer, hey, you know what, eat your peas. We try to use position and power, and now it's, hey, if you want a car, or hey, if you expect me to pay for college, or hey, if you think you're going to a prom, how are you paying for it? Or who's going to pay for the gas in the car? So we start to use position and power, and we hold it over them, but we haven't made that transition to relationship, and we still try to use it, and we try to do that. All it does is it chips away at our relationship with them. And all it does is it erodes our relationship with them. And so when it comes to that most important time, when we want to have influence, when they're getting older, we have not transitioned from position and power to relationship with them, and it's eroded our relationship. And so when we want to have influence in their lives, we don't. We don't. The temptation is to try to overpower them. And the temptation is to try to use our position with them instead of build relationship with them. Because it is through relationship. It is through relationship that we have influence. And that's what we're dying for. That's why Paul says this. Don't exasperate them. Don't frustrate them. Build relationship with them. Because we want to have the relationship with them so we can have the influence with them. We want to have the influence with them when they're making life's most important decisions. Who are they going to marry? Where are they going to live? What job are they going to take? How are they going to get along with their spouse? How are they going to parent? We want to have the idea, how are they going to deal with drinking and drugs and dating and all those things? We want to be able to have influence in their lives so we can speak into their lives then. You know, the chicken McNugget time's great, but that's just, we're in survival mode. It's when they come to life's most important and scariest decisions. We want to be people that are influences in their lives. And we give our kids everything. And we take our kids everywhere. And we have them a part of everything. And we shower them with all this stuff. You know what we'd do? We would trade it all away. We would trade it all away for the opportunity when they are making life's most important decisions that they want to listen to us and they want to take our advice and that we still have influence with them. That's what Paul's talking about. He's saying this. He says, fathers, he says, do not exasperate your children. Don't exasperate them. Don't exasperate it by using your position and using your power and not transitioning to this area where they grow up. Don't exasperate them, because when we do, we are chipping away a relationship. And when we chip away a relationship, we have lost leverage when they are making life's most important decision. And then there's a contrast right here. Instead, contrast. Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Paul is saying this. He's saying, bring them up. It's a Greek word, and the word actually means to nourish. So it means to nourish. See, it's not about leveraging now. It's about nourishing. It's about being a nourisher, being a nurturer. It means to guide. It means to coach. It's a very relational term. And that's what Paul's saying this. Come alongside them and be relational with them and be connecting with them. Doesn't mean we don't discipline our kids. Doesn't mean we don't have hard conversations with our kids. It doesn't mean we don't hold them accountable. But we have to make sure that we are nurturers, that we are coaches, that we are relational, that we come alongside them. It's easy when they're young. We buckle them in. But they start to get older. And you know, if you're older like me, you know this. You start to feel it. You know, it's the one, hey, get back here, and they don't listen. You're like, what the heck has happened? And you go, do I grab them now and throw them in the room or not? I mean, what do I do? You know this. And what happens is there's a transition with our kids, and we have to make sure that we are connected to them relationally so we can have influence in their lives when they get older. That's why he says this in verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. We connect with them. We don't exasperate them. We connect with them. Moms, we don't exasperate them. We connect with them. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. I like to say it this way. We connect and we direct. We connect and we direct. If we just connect, then we're just friends with them. The goal is not to just be their friend. They have plenty of friends. They don't need a friend. They need parents. So we connect with them. But we also direct. If we just direct, we're always just pointing fingers. We're always just telling them what to do. We're always just telling them where they went wrong. And if we do that, all they do is rebel. So it's this idea of both. We have to connect, but we have to direct. Now, as you sit here, you lean one way. You're either a connector or a director, probably. Which one are you? Like me, I err on the side of connect. I try to be their friend, and sometimes to my detriment. I need to direct more. Where do you lean? They have this tendency, we all, to go one way or another. For some of you, maybe nurturing is hard. Maybe you weren't nurtured growing up. Maybe no one did this to you. And so you find it incredibly difficult. And connecting and nurturing does not come easy for you. This is our desire. This is our desire. At some point in our lives, when our kids get older, we're going to want to plop down into their life and speak into their life. And we're going to have good things to say. And we're going to have good directions to point them. And we're going to want to help them. The question is, are they going to be willing to listen? Are they going to be open to listen? And influence comes with relationship. Influence comes with relationship. So what can we do to build relationship? Two things. There's a lot of things. First thing was this. If you want to be great at relationships, first one is this. Kids want to feel accepted. They want to feel accepted. That's why we have to be so careful how we talk to them. That's when we needle them or make fun of them or poke them. That's why shame You never shame a kid, because shame is rejection. Shame is I'm not good enough. And when parents shame a kid, it's detrimental. Kids need to feel accepted. And the second thing is they have to have your time. They want your time. They'll pretend like they don't. They act like they don't. But they want your uninterrupted, authentic, real, undistracted time. That's what they want. So think about it right now. How do you do with your kids? Do you give them your time? Do your kids feel accepted by you? Do you jab them and point? Do you shame them? Or do they feel accepted by you? And do you give them your time? Do your kids feel connected with you? Are you connecting with them, or are you only directing them? What's our goal? Our goal is to have relationship, because relationship leads to influence, and we want to have the ability, and we don't think this way, we want to have the ability to influence our kids in life's most important times. And we have to make that transition from I'm bigger and I'm powerful to I'm going to build relationship with you because I want you to listen to me, because I have good things for you. That's why Paul says this: honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Mothers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Okay, let's pray. God, we're thankful, so thankful for Paul's letters, God, that he writes these letters and he's right. And he's right. And just help us to be people that listen, Lord. I pray for people that are here, Lord, that I pray, Lord, that you help us all to build relationships with our kids. And Lord, we know that there's a balance. And so help us to be people, Lord, that have a balance. Have a balance between connecting and directing, God. Help us to be people that model life with you so we can point our kids towards you, God. Pray, Lord, that you bless every parent in here. You'll bless every grandparent in here, Lord. And Lord, there's people in here that might feel like too late. I've already messed up. I already missed this. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will give them hope. I pray, Lord, that you will do a miracle. That where a relationship is broken, Lord, in some way that only you can do it, Lord, will you reconcile that relationship and bring it back together, God? Will you help those who are here who have struggled with relationships with their kids somehow to reconnect, God? Will you create moments where that can happen? Lord, I pray for the parents here. They're doing life's most important work. They're doing the best they can, God. They need your strength. They need your protection. They need your wisdom, God. Pray, Lord, that you will bless them. And you will bless their kids. You will bless their families. That you will watch over these families, Lord. And may their families be a beautiful picture of what it means to walk with you. May there be love in their family. Thank you, Lord, that you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.